And our guest right now, we have Senator Mike Patton on the horn with us, recently featured on a Seattle news station about repeat offenders being convicted and then being let out of prison or letting out of jail, letting out early. What's going on?
Johnny, we have the three strikes law in our state. So if there are three violent offenses, people have had their chance to change their ways and yet continue this anti-societal activity and serious violent offenses, then they should have life in prison. This was passed by a vote of the people back in the 1990s. What has happened is the Democrats that control the legislature have passed legislation at first to apply prospectively that they were going to take second-degree robbery out of the mix. Well, that was one thing. I didn't agree with it, but that was one thing. At least the process was way better. Then last year, they applied it retroactively, which is a horrible thing to do. You never want to do things retroactively in the criminal justice system. There's been two significant cases, one out of Vancouver involving a criminal named Roy Russell, who murdered a 14-year-old girl, Chelsea Harrison, and now got out early because robbery two was one of the three strikes when he was sentenced and convicted. So now he's going to be resentenced here later this month down in Clark County in Vancouver. And this guy would lure 14-year-old kids to his apartment by giving them drugs and alcohol. And then they all left but one girl, and he tried to force himself on her. She resisted, and he killed her. Now, it's just horrible for the family of Chelsea Harrison that he's going to be getting out early. The other case is one involving a Robert Jackson. Mr. Jackson, you may have heard of, or your listeners may have heard of, back in 2016, he was one of the prisoners that got out early when the Inslee administration let 3,000 prisoners out early by mistake in a huge snafu. He got out early and then killed his girlfriend in a vehicular homicide, crashed the car in the parking lot of the Bellevue apartment where she lived. He takes off, and her 13-year-old son discovers the body. So he was just resentenced a week ago, and instead of life imprisonment, he's got 33 years. He'll have credit for the time he served since 2016, and then he'll be eligible to get out earlier. These things are horrible, and for example, the case in Clark County in Vancouver, the deputy prosecuting attorney, Mr. James Sineski, who tried the case at the time, tried it under what the law was. So they could have tried it for a murder case, but since he already had the other strikes, they went with the three strikes. And, if they had prosecuted him on the murder, he maybe still would be in for that. But they did what the law called for at the time, and that's why you don't want to go back and not only have the situations maybe change, maybe the witnesses are not available, but you're re-traumatizing the victims' families, which is just horrible. They're having to live through these horrible experiences again. And so the family of Lindsay Hill up in Bellevue and the family of Chelsea Harrison in Vancouver have done this. This is one, in my mind, one of the worst laws, and it passed pretty much on a party line vote in the Senate, other than, of course, Senator Sheldon, who caucuses with the Republicans in the Senate, voted against the retroactive application. So everybody in our caucus voted against it. All the members of the Democratic caucus, 28 of them, voted for it. The House was a little different. It passed 40, it passed 52 to 46. So there were five or six, Democrats that did vote against it, but not enough to stop it. And then Inslee, signs it. So it's a terrible situation. Mr. Jackson should have been in the state prison system when he committed this crime. They go through all this, and now he's getting out way earlier, and the same for Mr. Russell.
So just to be clear, we used to have the three strikes law, but Democrats came up with something that kind of nullified it?
Well, we still have the three strikes law. They took out robbery two as one of the strikes. So in these cases, both Mr. Jackson and Mr. Russell had a robbery two conviction as one of the three strikes. So then they pass a law to go back, way back, and remove these. It's, in my mind, an abomination. I mean, it's so unjust. And we argued and fought as much as we could. We offered amendments. We had one amendment to make it in the discretion of the prosecutor. We had another amendment that would have returned this to a vote of the people, since the people originally passed the three strikes law. Both those were rejected. And I had an amendment which would have just said you can't do this retroactively. None of those were successful, and they rushed headlong. And now the sponsors of this bill have been extremely reluctant to even defend it or comment on. I've been on a number of interviews and have talked to radio hosts such as yourself who have asked them to come on, and so far no takers.
Yeah, I have always had a hard time getting Democrats to come on my show. Republicans, hey, they jump at the chance. Now, with Democrats being in control of the House, the Senate, the governor's seat, you know, and they're supposed to be equal parts of our state government, is it more difficult to get any of your bills or your laws or your policies passed because you're basically outnumbered?
Well, it is on very substantive philosophical issues. I still get legislation through, and you still work with folks, and there's good folks. I mean, I might, I've had a bill that had some success, didn't pass, but dealing with fishing, for example, or I've had some other bills that pass. But you try to work with people, but big substantive issues, things like the budget, for example. Linda Wilson from Vancouver is our lead Republican budget person in the Senate. The budget she presented would have had a property tax exemption on $250,000 for the state portion of the property tax. I mean, people in my area, other areas of the state, are in danger of being taxed out of their homes with the increased valuation of property and the property taxes going up. So, and other states have given some property tax relief, but we haven't. We got gas, you know, prices that are a mile high. The bill at the grocery store, even if you shop at a store that's more of a low-cost place, has gone through the roof, and it's just more difficult for a lot of people to make ends meet.
You know, I've seen this pattern every time, and I hate to say it, and not sound biased, but it seems like every time Democrats get control of anything, taxes go up, things get horrible, and then when we vote back, a lot of the policies that Democrats have pushed when or passed when that go into effect after they've been, the House or this, it's been switched, then they go and blame Republicans. See, once they took over, things went up. But when it was their policies that they passed that started January 1st, or does that make sense?
Right. No, they have delayed implementation dates on some of that, just specifically for that reason. Some take effect sooner. We got tremendous fee increases for all sorts of automobile things, and they make a big deal. So, well, they didn't raise the gas tax. Well, they raised the cost of everything else dramatically, Dean, with automobiles, and they've, in effect, will have raised the gas price with some of their environmental policies. So It's difficult. Crime, the cost of doing things, the emergency powers of the governor finally going to end after 975 days come here at the end of the month. All sorts of things that you hope people think about.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It just drives me insane. I'm losing faith in humanity. You know, we voted for that anti-affirmative action law that Governor Locke's, he didn't agree with it, but he still, he said, this is what the people want. I don't agree with it, but hey, whatever. I got to do what the people want. Well, this governor with his emergency powers squashed that and then used some child psychology on voters by saying our state's anti-racist and will work to continue and blah, blah, blah. Then passed crap to now use race, sexual preference, and how you identify as a basis to hire people. Then sandwiched vets in it, too, because if you're opposed to that other stuff, since vets is sandwiched on it, you're opposed to vets. How dare you? At least that's my take on it.
Yeah.
You have an opinion?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so many things like that, and then they've supported taking the decision-making from local school boards, from local cities, and making those decisions in Olympia. I mean, they're trying to make zoning decisions. It should be the purview of local governments. They've made a ton of things on education and bringing in pretty extremist sex education and bringing in critical race theory. And they may say, well, we don't have critical race theory, but they have the elements of it in there, and they play these word games all the time. But, I mean, they should not be making the decisions. They should not be usurping the powers of our local school boards, and if you disagree with them, run for the school board at the local level.
Right. So when it comes to this three strikes thing and them taking, what is it, the armed robbery or second-degree armed robbery out, what can we do to combat this?
Well, what the legislature giveth, they can take away. I will have legislation prepared, and either I'll introduce it or somebody else to nullify that bill, Senate Bill 5164. I mean, that's just the tip of the ice on all these other bills where they were going after law enforcement, really going after public safety under the guise of some sort of equity and diversity and sentencing. So we've got the whole problem of the pursuit, where law enforcement can't, in most cases, pursue criminals because they changed the standard to probable cause from reasonable suspicion, and then they've in effect decriminalized fentanyl, heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, hard drugs. They're not going to arrest you. They're going to say, hey, why don't you think about getting treatment? But no follow-up, no accountability. And they give you two chances to do that. And the third, well, they might have a lowly misdemeanor where the maximum sentence is 90 days and a number of prosecutors won't even bother prosecuting the misdemeanors. And these were felonies where they would go into the state prison system. And as a result, we have been inundated thanks to the open border policy of the administration, thanks to the communist Chinese who deliver the fentanyl to Mexican, and the cartels move it over across the country and have pipelines into our state and the other states. But thanks to that, we have crime going out of control, and we got these drug gangs. And how do they, you know, how do they feed their habit? Well, they feed it by theft and robbery and other violent crimes. I'm not necessarily a big fan of some of the marijuana shops, but they have been hit so hard because they've got cash, and the criminals know that they can go in there and steal, and most of the time law enforcement can't even go after them. So we and of course you've got in my mind an outstanding senator. I work with him very closely, Senator Wilson, and he's done some work on the catalytic converters. But more needs to be done there, and some of the things he wanted to do, the Democrats wouldn't agree to, such as increasing the penalties if you steal catalytic converters from people. So we have an all-time record of thefts of catalytic converters. So there's a lot to do. if the Republicans somehow got control of the Senate and I chaired the committee again, I could keep the legislature busy. I'd say at least a third of the time just dealing with corrections on some of the past laws in the criminal justice area.
Senator, some are soured on Republicans as much as Democrats. You know, they kind of lump you both in the kind of same area. You know, they haven't looked up the Republican Party platform. They haven't looked up who voted on what bills to see if their beliefs align with that of whatever Republican that's voting. But for whatever reasons, they see both parties equally guilty. Can that stigma ever be fixed when the bias of the media is working so against Republicans and reality?
Well, it is difficult, and we're trying to get the word out through other means, through social media, digital communication, our newsletters. But, yeah, people need to check on things and see about the issues they care about, because there's so much difference. A lot of issues that church-going people care about are there. Our state has gone headlong into the most extreme pro-abortion position. I mean, they passed House Bill 1851. The governor signed it so that an abortionist who kills a woman while he's performing abortion has no criminal liability at all. So, I mean, even if they think that abortion ought to be legal, they're saying, hey, it doesn't matter whether it's safe or not. You know, this is the extreme positions that we have in this state, and goes against what a majority of people want. They want some restrictions on abortion. A lot of people, of course, are strongly pro-life and believe life begins at conception and the unborn child, the heartbeat is going early and all those things. But even people on the other side, I think, believe by and large that there ought to be some restrictions.
You know, speaking of that topic, it's my understanding, you know, you see all the smear ads saying, Tiffany Smiley and the Republicans have five, you know, anti-abortion bills that would restrict what a woman can do. And it's like, it's my understanding that Republicans don't have any bills that like what they say, and that it's impossible to know because, like, you can't talk you know, you can't talk about bills you're working on, and you know, there's these other restrictions that would make it illegal to even know that stuff. But they're going on TV saying it.
Yeah.
How can they get away with that?
They're completely misleading the public, and they're acting like if anybody is pro-life, they're going to change the law in our state, and there won't be any abortions available for anybody. And that's simply not the case. And you've gone from Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion people saying abortion ought to be available, but it should be rare, to actually celebrating abortion. They had one of their candidates go to an event and said, I'd like all the ladies that had abortion stand up so we can give them a round of applause. This is the extreme crazy positions that the Democratic Party is taking. We used to have some wonderful pro-life Democrats, including former Senator Hargrove from Hoquiam there, who was an outstanding guy, but there aren't any of those left anymore. They've all been either retired or drugged out of the party by the hard left.
Well, I'm trying.
But keep fighting. We gotta keep fighting. You can't give up. You gotta do the best you can on this, and I think there are some hopeful signs. There are a lot of people that are fed up with the increase in crime, with the cost of all these things. I mean, you look at the 19th district there, Aberdeen and Longview. I mean, they used to be all Democrat, and then gradually now they're all Republican. They've had a major change. So if it can happen there, it can happen elsewhere.
Well, I'm on your side, man, let me tell you. It's just driving me absolutely insane. It's my understanding, and that, like, depending on the bill, like, some Republicans will have a better chance of getting something passed by courting a Democrat, asking if they would author the bill just to get the thing passed, because they know, you know, if they did it themselves, it wouldn't be looked at, it wouldn't be considered, it would be just thrown in the trash.
Well, right. So they really pulled a nasty thing on Senator Wilson, who'd done all the work on the catalytic converter bill and introduced it before the session started and everything. And they wouldn't move his bill, and they basically gave most of it to a House Democrat. So it was a House Democrat bill that passed. But that was one where the media knew Senator Wilson had worked so hard on it and for so long that they did go to him to get his comments and acknowledge that he was the moving force on it. But that is the type of thing that happens once in a while, not all the time. Like I say, a number of Republicans, I've been relatively successful up to the last session in getting bills through. So I think, you know, you got to look at the issue. You got to work with both people. There's things, you know, on housing issues, on some criminal justice issues. And sometimes you get a number of bills, they go through the Senate, and then they kill them over in the House. But, yeah, that result sometimes is a bias, but you're there. The people have left it. You got to do the best you can and make a difference. And a number of times you're going to be able to get legislation through, but it may not be on major philosophical issues.
Well, I thank you for your time, sir. Is there anywhere online I can find more about you?
Well, sure. I have, like all the legislators, have a webpage. And if you go to leg.wa.gov and get there, I have a e-newsletter I put out about once a month when we're not in session, and more often when we are in session, and anybody can sign up to receive that newsletter.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend, sir, okay?
All right. Well, thank you. You got a great area, and I just wish the best for you. I've had hearings in Aberdeen and wonderful people down there. So good luck to you and the folks in that area.